Welcome to another episode of Right Now, a podcast by the Broadleaf Writers Association based in Atlanta, Georgia. I am your host, Zachary Steele, and on this episode, I am joined by Haley Warrington, who is a literary agent at the Booker Albert Literary Agency and also the author of two novels. To learn more about Haley, you can find her at HaleyWarringtonWrites.com. Hi there, Haley.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
I am great. I'm better now that I get to talk with you. So,
Oh, well, I will take that as a complete compliment and a testament to me being here rather than it just being a podcast that you want to be on.
oh no, we're buddies. Don't even.
I do want to say, preface this, and this will be my gentle plug so I don't have to do it later, but you will be joining us at the 11th Annual Broadleaf Writers Conference in September. So definitely excited to bring your brand of energy and agenting to our attendees.
I'm so excited to be there and to hopefully give everybody a great experience when they talk to me. So,
yes, definitely. She's killer on first pages, so look for that. So anyway, you are new to this agenting thing. It is relatively new in your world, and I'm curious. So, let's just launching into this with like what brought you to being an agent, and then I want to talk a little bit about how that experience has been so far.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's it's a great start. I did beta reading for months and months and months for people that were also in the writing community at the same time as me. And I had seen, especially recently, or I guess at that time it was recently, there was a pretty big uptick of agents that weren't great or agents that didn't have the best out for their clients. I think everybody just called them schmagents or something along those lines. And it was becoming very prevalent because really people without credentials can just open an agency and go from there. And, you know, writers, they do so much research, but still there's only so much research that you can do. And like you're trusting somebody so much with that work that you've put your heart and soul into. It's so important to find the right partner for that. And being a writer myself as well, I am so much better at the developmental aspect of something that's already done versus doing something from scratch for myself. And so I've always had that editorial eye. When I started looking for internships, an agent that previously worked at Booker Albert, her name is Andy Smith. She's at CMA Lit right now, but she let Jordy know who I was, and then I was able to get into that internship after an application. And I did that for about a year. And then on that year anniversary, I was promoted to junior agent because I definitely knew I wanted to be an agent by the time I had gotten through that time period. And I really just wanted to be able to make the industry that much brighter. You know, one person can only do so much, but if it's one person becoming an agent that is going to put their clients first, that's some positive light. So I really wanted to make sure that people, when they submit to me, they know that I always have the best intentions for people. And my client list, I would do just about anything for them. They're all fantastic people. So just being able to help them facilitate their dreams and bringing them to that level to get them there is why I became an agent in the first place.
Well, I mean, you jump into the relationships part of the agent and author dynamic, and obviously you have a passion for that part of it. But I'm curious, how long did it take you with your first couple clients of getting into the rhythm of having those communications and figuring out how to structure it, and how has it evolved since then?
Yeah, there's still so much that structurally I have a pretty small list as it is. So things are going to continue changing as I get a bigger client list. But I think communication is the most important thing. So all of my authors. They have my cell phone number, they have my email, and then my social media as well. But they are, I don't have any time restrictions on when they can reach out to me. They can send me a text or email me at any time. Obviously, I might just take a little bit to respond if you text me at midnight, but I'm a night owl, so maybe I'll be up. And I had not really determined like what my agent schedule really looked like at the beginning because I had just started. Says I didn't really think it was going to be a prevalent need at that time, but then I found myself working on things every single day. So I was like, okay, I do actually need to give myself a schedule and make sure that I was taking some time to rest. So now I'm not as responsive on the weekends, but I still try to respond to everything within 24 hours. And then I always let them know if you don't get a response from me, you're more than welcome to nudge me. I'm not going to be offended by that. Me and my ADHD scatterbrain, I promise. So, structurally, still working on it. There's not a whole lot there structurally in terms of like just my own schedule, but I do like submission spreadsheets with all of them. That was something that I had figured out before I even onboarded any clients. I knew what I wanted my submission spreadsheet to look like, what information I wanted to provide to them. And which they really get the option over, right? Like when we're on submission, if they want to see the email, I will forward them the email. That's totally fine. If they want to know nothing, it's all over the place with authors all the time because everybody has different preferences. But I do try to adhere to as many preferences as I can across my client list.
That's interesting. I mean, I think it's always assumed that the questions that I'm going to hear from attendees and writers that I talk to center on queries and submissions and things like that. But honestly, the majority of the time, the questions I get are, well, what is it like when you get an agent and you're an author, and what is that dynamic like? So I love digging into this part of it. But you were talking about you said you had mentioned that you give them your cell phone number. And obviously that is probably not something every agent does,
Right.
but it seems to me that what you are doing more than just trying to have clients that you find books for is you're trying to foster relationships.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's very important because to me, I feel like a lot of times authors, when they get into starting to look for an agent, there's a lot of intimidation factor. Not that that's necessarily wrong because it is facilitated by some people, even though I would not personally do something like that. But there's a lot of this agent has the power, but really it should be a partnership. And at the end of the day, the most important part of being in a partnership is that there is that relationship and that communication, and just that there is a basic, at least a basic understanding of each other. And all of my clients are such fantastic people. I still try to keep like a professional line, just from my own preference, but sometimes it's really hard because you do just want to like giggle and laugh with people sometimes. And that's just kind of my personality too. But they're all fantastic people. It's not hard to foster relationships with people when they're that fantastic.
And you get to choose the people, so
Exactly. Yeah.
it does help when you know what type you're looking for. All right, so okay, so you're talking about this relationship with your clients, and kind of toeing the line of professionalism. So when you are looking at their stories and you're taking that developmental eye to it, how often does the closeness that you may have with that client kind of seep into the material? Like, are you able to give them a very strictly professional feedback on it, or are you kind of like so busy internally rooting for them that, I don't know where I'm going with that from that, but it just seems like it's one of those that could create struggles.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if there's a like I don't want to necessarily say it like that, but a lack of communication between people. When I sign clients or when I am offering to an author, I always let them know like I'm a developmental editorial agent first. So I will all like I'll always have edits. There are certain bigger ones, like if it's a developmental edit, those are I'm a little less lenient on when I offer to authors, and I have if it's a long list of developmental edits or just a short list, I always tell them like these are the ones that I would have to see implemented in order for this offer to stand. But if there's several of these that I'm okay with not going with, but there's always that expectation there that I am editorial, and that's something that I am very strong-willed about. I am lenient to a certain degree, but I make it very clear that that's part of the deal. And so I always try to balance it in when I'm going through like a manuscript, because I'll always provide positive feedback and the developmental edits, because I know that really helps authors. But I don't think my brain really conceptualizes that this is I like I'm close with this person. If I'm going to edit this, I'm going to edit it differently. I don't think I'm capable of that, honestly.
Yeah, I got you. So when people are when they are querying you and you find something, the query is great, you ask for pages, the pages are something you want to continue reading, and maybe make it to the manuscript, and you have that first conversation with them, do you look at that as like you're trying to seal the deal and get them as a client in that moment, or is that just the beginning of the process for you?
So, I'm very much a long-term type of thinker. So, if I'm going into a, and I, so to an extent, I think you do kind of have to sell yourself a little bit to let them know like who you are, what you can do, what you're capable of, and everything like that. But I, if that were the only factor in it, then everybody would always go with the most experience or the most sales or the agent that has the most sales, they would always go with that person if that was the only factor. But it's also, it has to do with how well that you get along with them. That's a really important aspect. It's not quite the most important aspect, but it is very important. And also editorial vision is very, like, you have to make sure that the agent aligns with the author. So I'm always very upfront and honest about what I see that like could be done with it, because if they don't agree with my editorial vision, that doesn't make them wrong. It just means we're not a good fit. It's not a good partnership. So I go into those calls obviously very hopeful, because that's it's one of my favorite parts of being an agent is having that initial conversation. But that genuinely is just the start of a relationship, because even if I offer to somebody and they end up going with another agent, I'm still rooting for them. I'm still seeing how they go through like their submission processes and hopefully eventually selling that book, and I get to cheer them on from the sidelines. I might not be your agent, but I am somebody who will always believe in you, because I called you and I believed in you. So, it's definitely just the beginning of a very long-term process. And that process is just that relationship and that connection that you have with people, because you never know who you might need to ask questions to down the line or who you might need to talk to down the line. And if they do accept my offer, then that's when the real work starts, because we have to do the edits. I have to go through the document and make sure we're all aligned there and create the submission spreadsheet. I do a lot of editor research before they ever even accept the offer, though. So,
Okay.
lots of editor research goes into these things, but that's a very long-winded answer, but hopefully that answered the question.
Does, yeah. No, it's
Okay.
really interesting because not I thought about this before, but listening to you talk about Not just the relation side of having the clients, but also meeting new clients and having that conversation with them. So much of this process is like dating, and it's like, you're meeting people and you're hoping you could get that connection and that maybe that second date, and then, make a relationship out of it. And I don't actually think that that's a terrible way to think about it, just simply because you see it as a process. Again, coming back to that long-term thing.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Because at the end of the day, a relationship is a relationship, whether it's a business relationship, a partnership, a romantic relationship, all of those things, they like at their core, they still function off of that connection and the trust between people. And if you can't, and if you don't have that trust, or you're partnering with somebody that you don't think you'll ever get there with, that's not going to work out well in the end. So that's just, I fully agree with that. That's a good take.
I have, and I'll take that. It's my one good take of the day. I've never actually asked an agent this question, and I'm choosing to ask you as a new agent this question. But when you get the job as an agent, and you're going to slot in the agency, do you get sole proprietorship over what your wish list is, or is there some part of the agency's needs that have to be filled by you being there?
So I'm sure it's different at other agencies, but from my experience, I am fully open to look for whatever I want to look for. So there's no quota or no specific genres that I have to have because of the agency. I get full creative freedom with what I want. I could ask for the wackiest thing in the world and nobody would really say anything to me. So
That's cool.
yeah,
That's cool.
it's the best part of this. I have a lot of autonomy as a person. So, I tend to lead in situations, and when I don't have a lot of autonomy, it kind of stresses me out. So having that autonomy was really it was a really great puzzle piece to fit into my life, because when I became an agent at that time, I really needed something like that. So it's a really large passion of mine for sure.
Yeah, autonomy is a relatable thing for me, so I get that. I think people have a misconception of what an agent's life is like, in the same way that I think people have misconceptions about what an author's life is like. Like, okay, you've got the publishing deal, you have books out, you're made, you get to stay at home and write all day. Congratulations, you. When in fact, what, I don't know, I don't. This is not a real stat, but like 95% of writers have a job. And it's not
Yeah.
writing. It's not writing books. And for agents, it can be very much the same way, especially when you're starting out. You are still working toward making this a full-time thing for you. And what is it like to, it's kind of a two-part question. What is it like to juggle that? And also, do you know when you could take it on full-time? Is there like a number of clients, or is it just like, I'll know when I know?
Great questions. You've got some questions that are making me think today.
Okay.
Yeah, I think overall, juggling a day job and agenting is it can be difficult at times. The job that I work, I'm a manager at the job that I work too. So I also have a team, and I work with clients at my day job as well. So that aspect of it is it's a lot of people, and I typically am a really big people person. You kind of have to be to do some of the things that I do both in day job and agenting, but there are times where it's overwhelming to do both. But because I'm very fortunate to genuinely love my day job and love agenting, that it's worth it at the end of the day, because I'm happy with what I do, and I love that I get to help people in every aspect of my life, and that's the most important thing for me. So, definitely difficult. I will never downplay the level of difficulty that it is to do all of those things. on top of being an author myself as well. So there's I got a whole lot going on, but it's worth it. And that's how I juggle it, because I know the end goal will justify the means every time.
I love that
And then,
perspective.
thank you. And sorry, what was the second part of that question?
That was the second part. Was just kind of sorry. I should not put two very big questions
You're good.
together. No, the second part was just like knowing, like, when do you know? It's like, do you have a threshold of clients that you feel like you would need to have to be able to make it a full-time thing, or is it just like on the back end of royalties and all that? You're just like, I'll know when I know.
Yeah, it's definitely an I'll know when I know. There's a lot that goes into that, because it's commission based, so I also have to be making some sales in that regard. It's been almost a year. I have a super secret thing that we're waiting to announce right now that's very, very, very exciting, with one of my clients. So that should hopefully be out and about sometime soon, but don't
And
hold
about
me to
sometime
that.
soon. I really like
Yeah.
that. That as a marketing technique is wonderful. It should be
You
out
know,
sometime soon. I like that.
and to be honest, if I could tell the whole world, I would, because honestly, it's partially my news to tell, but it's not even me I'm excited for. The client that this is happening for is so deserving, and all of my clients are so deserving. But she's such a hard worker, and she does so much, and she puts so much into her writing, and you can really feel it. So the fact that this is happening for her is just it's a surreal moment for me, and I can only imagine like how she's feeling. So I'm super excited for her, and she's very deserving, and I'm very proud of her and how far she's come, even just in the past, however, year, 9, 8, 10 months that we've been working together. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. But then we will look for that soon.
Ish.
You may soon-ish. It's
Yeah.
getting better. So you had mentioned about being an author. So of the many hats you have, for the sake of this conversation, we'll just talk about the two, agent and author. Like, finding time to write is a challenge for anybody. And, you know, I have a job. I do Broadleaf. I have freelance editing that I do. I have other things that I have to pay attention to, and finding time is hard. And I'm curious, for you, how do you fit that into your schedule?
Yeah, so to be honest, I'm more passionate about being an agent than I am about being an author. So when I am editing manuscripts of any kind at all, ever, I will never write a single word. And that's out of my comfort level and out of respect for my authors as well. I just would not feel comfortable writing while editing. Editing somebody else's work. So I can safely say that it's been months and months since I've written really anything, but it's not something that I am super sad about, or that I would, or I feel like something's missing, because I truly feel like out of the two, I'm a much better fit at being an agent. And it's something that just makes my heart sing a little bit more. To answer your question about how I fit time in, I really don't. So
Fair.
that's really where I'm at with that. Once I get through edits, if there's anything that ever like sparks for me, of course I'll write it down. But I don't know that that will be my focus anytime soon, or really ever again.
That's fair. I mean,
Yeah.
always good for people to know what they're passionate about and to drive full force into that. So, no, that's pretty cool. So in this process of relationship building and fostering connections with your clients, if hypothetically you were to have a client that was more difficult as a people pleaser that you say you are, How difficult do you think it would be if you were getting significant pushback from one of your clients on edits? How would you want to approach that? Now, I feel like I'm
So
actually
there's
editing you
always.
for, I feel like I'm interviewing for a job with this question, but it's like these are real curiosities I have, so that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are curious about that because that's something that as an editorial agent, my clients before they like signed on with me, like they asked me that question too, what happens if we disagree? And at the end of the day, I do view the work as it's the author's work, right? So I can have my ideas and there are things that I will be pretty firm on, but if I'm firm on something and they are like very adamantly against it, I'm not necessarily going to force somebody to make changes, but maybe that's not a project that we work on together. I haven't had that situation happen to me, and all of my authors and I are very aligned in terms of developmental edits, but I also don't necessarily have like a productivity metric for my authors. So if they like wrote this book and it wasn't something that I would represent or whatever, and they wanted to do something else with it, that's totally fine. I have the genres that I represent, I have the projects that I represent. If that's not something that we're aligned on, then that's okay for this project. Obviously, if it's going to be a longer term issue, that's something that you need to think about overall in terms of a partnership and how that's going to work moving forward. But I think if it's a one-off, like just a one-time project where they're super passionate about having it one way, then I'm not going to interfere with that. But it is overall, if it's a high maintenance client that constantly has these conversations with me or constantly pushes back on the type of developmental edits that I have, at that point you kind of have to evaluate that relationship because there could be somebody else out there that is perfect for their vision and what they have and their editorial senses that they want to put into their work. But if we consistently don't agree on editorial vision, then we're probably not a good fit partnership wise.
You haven't been doing this long, so maybe this isn't a fair question, but I'm curious as to what has surprised you the most so far about being an agent.
Oh man, that is a good question. I feel like I had expectations of like the wait time during submission, and I think everybody has some sort of concept of it because everybody knows that publishing is a very slow industry. But I think it was still kind of a shock for me going into that because while I'm an author, I never really had like a submission experience as an author. I signed with an indie press, so it's a long time. Just across the board, like there's always waiting of some kind. But there's also I mentioned a little bit earlier about how there's that little bit of intimidation factor between authors and agents, and that same dynamic exists between agents and editors because going into it, I was very fresh to all of it. And so I just sent out a bunch of emails that I was like, hey, my name is Haley. I work at Booker Albert Literary Agency. Like, can I have 15 minutes of your time just to discuss what you're looking for? And I was genuinely surprised by the amount of editors that were like, oh my gosh, yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited to meet you. And that shock doesn't come from necessarily what I already knew about the editors, but just from that perceived dynamic between like, oh, this person is like a superiority figure because they have what I want. So that was really surprising in the best way possible. So I was able to have so many lovely conversations with so many lovely editors, and I am super grateful to everybody that I was able to speak to during that first month and a half. So that's probably it.
Yeah, have you noticed having had those conversations with editors, do you feel like that's benefited you in being able to present possible projects for them?
Absolutely. Yeah. I have several editors that a few different authors that I have would probably be a technical fit for their list. So when I talk to those editors, they let me know. They're like, okay, I love the concept of this, but maybe like this person will be better. So if I ever pitch to editors, there's a few that would like direct me in towards a different editor at that imprint if they feel like that person would be a better fit. And also just that understanding. And I feel like we had kind of talked about this at the previous like the writer's day that we were just at. So when you're in front of somebody, they're a real person, but when it's just an email, they're not really a real person. So you get a little bit more, I don't want to say interaction because editors typically will interact with emails as they come into their inbox, but it's like the way that they communicate when people know who you are, it's just different. And it's not necessarily like a bad thing or like a dig on anyone. It's just kind of psychology and how the human brain works.
It is
So
the difference between flipping a thing on a dating app and actually meeting the person.
yeah, exactly. And I will usually, if I've talked to the editor already and I want to submit to them, I'll just submit the full manuscript. But if I haven't spoken to or met with that editor at that point, I would send a pitch and say, hey, are you interested in seeing this before sending any materials over? So that's been beneficial as well because then they just already have the manuscript for review. So there's a lot of really positive aspects to that. And again, I just really love talking to people. So that was positive in and of itself.
Right. Speaking of editing, I know we had had this conversation previously as well, but so kind of being surprised by how much time it takes for things to happen in this industry probably reflects on your turnaround time for editing. So just so people know, how long do you usually take when editing a client's manuscript?
Yeah, so right now I'm sitting between 3 and 4 weeks if it's the first manuscript in the queue. So I have a total of 5 clients right now, which I am super thankful for. And I have 2 manuscripts right now, so I'll have my 3 to 4 week turnaround time on the manuscript that was sent to me first, and then from the time that I finish that one, then the 3 to 4 weeks will start with the next one. So I try to keep it in that range. I was at 2 weeks, and that was just pushing it a little bit too
That's an
hard.
insane number.
Yeah, it is. Especially when doing line edits, because line edits do take quite a bit of time. So that's. That's where I was like, okay, maybe I give myself a little bit more time. So that's where it sits right now at the 3 to 4 week mark, and I'm hoping that it'll stay there, but we'll see how that goes as my list continues to grow as well.
And I mean, I think it's an evolving thing for you anyway, as you discover, what your threat, what, how much can you handle? How much can Haley handle, over the course of time? So, I think most people understand that process. There are probably some impatient writers, but I would imagine your clients are completely understanding with it.
Yeah, and my favorite thing to, and this is gonna sound a little, it might be blunt, but hear me out. So whenever I am working on a project with an author, whether it's like going on submission or if there's like a pause, I as kindly as possible, I say get a hobby because you have to have something that you love to do that's not writing while you're waiting for these things to happen. And it's so pivotal to your mental health because I mean I've had friends that have gone through years of the submission process before finally getting a deal. And you have to have something else to focus on or it just eats you alive because it's novels are authors' babies, like this is your baby and people are evaluating it and you want it to do well and it's completely out of your hands and you're just going to drive yourself crazy if you just wait. So in the nicest way possible, get a hobby. Like That's it. It sounds harsh, but I never mean that in a harsh light ever.
No,
So.
but I mean sometimes harsh is necessary, but it's interesting because I tend to close these interviews with a question about mental health. And as writers and even in your profession as an agent, we live in this little vacuum, this whole thing where it is a solitary thing, with the exception of maybe working with clients or writers working with editors. But from a creation standpoint for the writer, you're living in your head with all these voices that you deal with, and then you have your doubts and your anxieties and the questions that plague you, and every failure can feel like the end of the world sometimes.
Yeah.
And so I like to ask, like, what do you recommend? And you have answered that question already, that you should get a hobby. And I love that.
Yes.
I mean, so many people are like, well, you can take a walk or, you do this. But I've never had anybody just say, just get a hobby, do something, learn to knit. I don't know. Just
Yeah,
get away
crocheting
from
is
it.
great
Get
this
away
time
from
of year.
it.
Yeah, it's really important because just overall, you have to take care of yourself, and it's a really important part of yourself that you're putting out there when you go on submission, but it can't be the only part because inherently this industry is full of rejection. There is nobody that goes through this industry without rejection. And it's you've got to get that thick skin up, and the best way to do that is kind of ignoring the blows as they come in, and part of that is distracting yourself with a hobby. So whether that's drawing or even just like getting a coloring book. I can't tell you how many times I've just colored through a whole coloring book in general, let alone when I'm waiting for something. So,
And a vital piece of information for people to feed off of that is adult coloring books are a real thing,
oh,
and
they're so real.
they are gaining in popularity.
I can see six on my little shelf right now. So, those are my main hobby for sure.
That's fantastic. Well, obviously you could keep doing this, but we're up against time. So, I wanted to thank you for your time and for talking a bit about your experience as an agent.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me. I love this kind of stuff.
And just to close it out, tell us what you are representing, because I know you are open to submissions.
Oh man, what am I not representing? No. So I am just fiction, so I do not represent nonfiction. I lean more towards romance. That's definitely my top genre in terms of like connections and what I enjoy reading and representing. I'm really looking for in the adult space like thrillers and mysteries. I want a really great locked door thriller or a locked door mystery. Oh man. I like grounded fantasy, so if fantasy, I don't do epic fantasy or anything like that. I prefer real world settings for fantasy, and I'm not a super big fan of a lot of world building. For young adult, I'm pretty open across the board in terms of fiction. I'm really focusing on thrillers, horror, mystery. I'm going to be really picky on my YA romance. But oh, and one thing that I'm still technically accepting, but I will be very picky on moving forward is gothic literature of any kind. I've realized that I have an affinity for that, which means that I've got to put that boundary up now. So,
That's fair.
yeah.
That's fair. Unless you
Yep.
just want to be an agent for writers of Gothic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Haley. I've enjoyed it, and I wish you all the best in your agenting experience. And I look forward to seeing you this September.
Yes, I'm very excited for September, and thank you so much for having me. This was a very great experience.
Cool. I'm
Awesome.
glad, because the alternative is less pleasant.
You
But
know, the alternative is that this was terrible, but it wasn't, so it's okay.
well, the alternative is it's terrible, and I just accidentally edit it wrong and hit the delete button. Oh no,
Oh no,
it's
I'd have
gone.
to
It's
talk
gone.
more. Oh no.
I have stories about that. But anyway, thank you, and I hope to talk to you soon.
Cool beans. We will be in touch.